Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
21 reasons for hope in 2016. You say, are you going to honestly go through 21 points this morning? My wife last night said, I see a series. And I said, no, I'm going to make it. You'll feel some G-forces this morning. I have made one resolution for my new year, and so far I've been able to keep it, and that is don't make any more New Year's resolutions. I want to give us 21 reasons for hope in 2016. We live in a perilous world, and the news is nothing but more and more dismal. From the local to the international scene, we have indiscriminate violence. We have nonsensical behavior. We have lunacy. We have problems upon problems upon problems. Is there any hope? But there are truly problems in this world, and God has told us, don't worry. Don't worry. I want to look today at the Gospel of John, the Word of God, and find reason for hope. His Word was valid 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ walked this earth. His Word was valid thousands of years ago, even before it was written. It is valid for us today. Technology has changed the way we live, but it has not changed the fundamental nature of man and the needs of man. We are sinners dead in trespasses and sin in need of a Savior. The greatest thing we can do on this earth is tend to our spirituality, trust Christ as our Savior, and then develop our personal relationship with God and serve Him. Because there's coming a day we're out of here. You read the obituaries and you will find people of all ages dying. Folks, you don't know when your last breath is. Give your life to the Lord. Because no matter what, one day you're out of here. The Gospel of John records the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. He comes on the scene as a grown man and goes through his ascension after the resurrection. I want you to consider today 21 things of hope in that earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at your verse sheet and I want you to notice something. Did you notice each verse goes from chapter 1, the next verse is chapter 2, the next verse is chapter 3? See it? We have one verse from every chapter of the Gospel of John. Because his earthly ministry was filled from chapter 1 to 21 with fulfilling the needs of people. Now, this is certainly not an exhaustive list. You could go through this and come up with 21 additional things that he did to satisfy the needs of people. The point that I want you to get out of today's message is not so much understanding all 21 points, but rather I want you to walk out of here with a big picture. My goodness, from John chapter 1 to John 21, Jesus fulfilled the needs of people. Some of these needs you're going to see are repeated and yet in a different way. You're going to see diverse needs being met. That's the point I want you to get. There is hope because his earthly ministry was helping the needs and satisfying the needs of people. Therefore, these promises, these truths are for us today. And we can look at this, and I hope that this study provokes you to a greater study in the Gospel of John, and look at chapter 1. Whoa, there's reason for hope. And chapter 2 and 3 and so on throughout the book. So it is, the main point is not that you understand all 21 points, because guess what? I don't have time to expound on them all. If I give 3 minutes to each point, guess what? You miss lunch. I don't mean to, in any way, minimize the great truths, but today's message is an overview, not an in-depth analysis. Both are valid, and therefore, let us consider 21 reasons for hope from the Gospel of John. First, God sent His Son, the perfect answer to His fallen creation. John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I want you to notice in that verse, it says, taketh away the sin, singular, not plural. Sins addresses specific sins of people. The word, when it says taketh away the sin, that's an all-inclusive. Sins references specific. But he is categorizing the whole thing and saying the whole of sin. He took it all. He was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world, of every person, past, present, and future. He took collectively the sin of every person, period. Do you see the magnitude of what he did in John chapter 1? He has laid the foundation for all hope right there. This sin-sick world has hope because God sent his Son to take collectively the sin of the world. He has laid the foundation for the rest of his ministry. He will take up needs of people. But in John chapter 1, as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin collectively of the world collectively, he did it all. If he didn't do anything for us more than saving our soul, he's already done enough. Therefore, our first reason for hope is that Jesus came the whole sin debt for every person. Praise the Lord. Second reason for hope, you got to think about this one. To the self-righteous hypocrites, Jesus gave a whip. That's hope? Yeah, because we have a God of justice. In the midst of this sin-sick world, in all of the ill behavior that we see about us, that you see on the television, that you hear on the news, Jesus Christ is a God of justice. You see, the Jews were to be the spiritual light to the world, but their religion was empty. John 2:15, and when he, Jesus, had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. The Jewish people were supposed to be the light to the world, but they have done nothing more than make the temple and the sacrifices an object of money. Let's make a buck off of this. Jesus saw that his house was to be a house of prayer. They made it a den of thieves. And he sat down and he saw the need, made a whip, and drove them out. He saw the sin and took corrective action. He purged the temple. They were perverting truth and he could not let this go. So it is, as we live in this sin-sick world, our second reason for great hope is that Jesus, God in the flesh, stands for truth and justice. He brings judgment on those self-righteous ones who mock truth and, brace yourself, He corrects us when we need it. That's really a source of hope. That He will keep us on the straight and narrow. Our third reason for hope. We see the story of a man searching in religion, yet not finding answers, and Jesus provides them. Consider, John 3:1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. He's a ruler, he's a leader. And yet this man is spiritually blind and still knowing that something is empty. I am not fulfilled. Something's lacking. So he came to Jesus by night. I mean, I can't let everybody see that I need help. I have to sneak in the dark. And he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Nobody does these miracles otherwise. Jesus Christ received this man and answered his questions and gave him truth. He did not come out and condemn him per se. He was gentle, he was kind, and he answered his questions and he directed him in the way of everlasting. He had an outward show of spirituality. The third reason for our hope is that if you diligently seek for truth, you will find it. God will answer. Fourth reason, a woman was searching for fulfillment in relationships. And Jesus gave her direction and correction. John 4:18, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. Husbands in quotes. These are husbands. In that thou saidest truly. This woman admitted, I go from man to man to man, looking for happiness. Don't you think after two or three you'd finally quit? But how many times do people keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results? And she finally found Jesus. And he lovingly said, you're going all about this the wrong way. You need the Savior. So the fourth reason for hope is that Jesus presents truth for our correction and guidance, even we have blown it over and over again. Fifth reason for hope. Jesus healed a man who was searching for a miraculous healing in a religion of self-help. The Pool of Bethesda has this multitude of infirmed people laying around it, waiting for this miraculous stirring of the waters. And when the water would be stirred, whoever could get in the water first was healed. That's a religion of self-help, folks. Is that really Christianity, first come, first serve? I don't think so. And this man laid there, but could never make it, because he wasn't good enough. John 5:7, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. I need help. This religion, this hope that I have is empty and frustrating. While I am come, another steps down before me. It's a religion of strong survival of the fittest. And Jesus looked at this man and he healed him. He brought him out of a religion of self-help. Toughen up, buddy. And he gave him hope. He gave him truth. He saw his need and he was there. He helped the helpless one. The fifth reason for hope is that we can find our strength not in ourselves, but in Jesus. Yes, we must do our part to trust and obey, but he's the one that gives us the strength. Sixth reason for hope. To hungry people, Jesus provided food. 5,000 plus people were assembled. And Jesus set forth to feed them. The disciples looked at this hopeless situation and said, how are we going to do this? And finally, one came forth with some fish and loaves. John 6:11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise to the fishes that they would. And they took this earthly impossible situation, they fed the multitude, and they had leftovers. Again, Jesus seeing the incredible need of people. How many times do we see earthly impossible situations? We experience earthly impossible situations. And God says, let it with me. I can meet that need. Our sixth reason for hope is that with God, all things are possible. Seventh reason for hope. Jesus offers truth even to scoffers because he wants their soul saved. Even Jesus Christ's brothers, born of Mary, did not believe that he was the Savior of the world. Take a look at John 7:5. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Now surely as they were growing up, Mary had to say, oh, by the way, your brother is something special. It was a virgin birth. I have trouble believing that she kept that a secret. Surely the brothers had to see Jesus growing up. And yet, they did not accept that he was the Messiah. If you read there in that story, in John 7, he gives them truth. So think back. He gave truth to Nicodemus, who came to him during the night. He gave truth to the woman of five men. Now he gives truth to the brothers. God does want to give truth because he's not willing that any should perish. So even to the scoffers, he is trying to reach them. Our seventh reason for hope is that Jesus provides truth even when we do not believe. And he is merciful to do that. Number eight, to a shamed and disgraced woman, Jesus gave encouragement and direction. Here is this woman caught in adultery. And she is taken and brought to the temple publicly, declared to be an adulteress in front of this crowd, shamed. And the Pharisee hypocrites start telling Jesus, you know, according to the Mosaic law, she needs to be stoned. And here is this embarrassed, shamed sinner there before the crowd, and Jesus Christ says, now, okay, if that's true, then he that's without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And they all left. And finally, it was one and one. Jesus with this woman. And he said to her, where are your accusers? And she said, verse 11, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He didn't excuse her sin. He didn't minimize her sin. But he didn't stand there in shame and condemn her. He gave her direction and kindness. Let's go ahead, sin no more. Move on from here. He gave her instruction to do right. Our eighth reason for hope is that Jesus lovingly gives correction and direction to sinners. Number nine, to a blind man, Jesus gave sight and salvation. Jesus happened upon this man who was blind from birth. He tells him, put clay on your eyes. Go wash in the pool Siloam. Side note, I'm not going down this path, but did you notice he didn't say go to the pool of Bethesda? Don't go to the pool of self-help. Go to the pool of Siloam. The man obeyed. He got his sight. And what should have been an incredible time of excitement, what happened? The Pharisee hypocrites, you know what? That man's of the devil. Really? Finally, the man who held for truth, no, I don't understand at all. All I know is this man healed me. They put him out of the temple, and Jesus found him in this condition. Chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? So he had given him physical sight, but now he's going to lead him in salvation. And if you read on this story, the man said, I believe. God took this man who was down and out and blessed him. Our ninth reason for hope is that Jesus helped the blind and discouraged man and gave him strength in his great hour of need. Tenth reason for hope. To the oblivious Jews, Jesus gave truth. He has been ministering and ministering and teaching and teaching, and they say to him in John 10:24, tell us plainly, are you the Messiah? And he says in 25, Jesus answered, I told you, and you believe not. What more do you want me to say? The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness. Don't you see the miracles? Doesn't it register to you guys? And you don't believe? They ignored the prophecies of his coming. They ignored the miracles. They ignored the teachings. Would you please tell us the truth? What more do you want me to say? They just would not accept truth. They're like his brethren. Remember? Neither did his brethren believe in him. But what did Jesus do? He gave them the truth again. What more do you want me to say? Look at the miracles. Therefore, our tenth reason for hope is that Jesus keeps providing truth in the midst of our great spiritual darkness. And there are times, Christian, you say, well, that's not me. Now, wait a minute. Do you worry? You're in spiritual darkness. And God is still merciful. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. 11th reason for hope. To a man without life, Jesus raised him from the dead. Lazarus was sick. Jesus was summoned. But Jesus arrived after Lazarus died. Humanly speaking, he was too late. The people are grieving. And yet he showed his power over death by raising the dead. John 11:43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice. And since I have a microphone here, I'm not going to cry with a loud voice. Lazarus, come forth. And here are these grieving people, and some are mocking and laughing, you're going to raise him from the dead, and he came out of the grave. I believe everyone there rejoiced to see this miracle except Lazarus. He was in the presence of God, and now he's got to leave and come back to this sin-sick world? Would you guys leave me alone? Now Lazarus went on surely to die again. But for a time the people rejoiced and they were encouraged because Jesus Christ had power over death. Our 11th reason for hope is Jesus hears our cry, he's never too late, and he overcame death. 12th reason for hope, Jesus gave proof that he was Messiah by fulfilling prophecy. The Jews were looking for a king. And there was a time when they welcomed him into Jerusalem crying, Hosanna, Hosanna! And they sprayed the palm branches before him. And yet it says in John 12:14, and Jesus, when he found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written. It was written hundreds of years before that he would be riding on that donkey. And here they are crying, Hosanna! And he's there on a donkey. And prophecy is being fulfilled right before their eyes, and they don't see it. A few short days later, they cried, Crucify him! And in that crucifixion, there were many more prophecies fulfilled, and they didn't get those either. They were oblivious to this whole thing. They did not consider the scriptures and the proofs that were given to them. Our 12th reason for hope is that much prophecy has been fulfilled, thus verifying that scripture is true. 13th reason for hope. To the proud disciples, Jesus taught humility. Because the disciples had pride just like we all have pride. And God is working in all of us to help us to put aside, to get over our pride. Here is Jesus Christ the night before his crucifixion. And he poured water in the basin, John 13:5. After that he poured the water into the basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Here is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, going to the cross, and he washes the disciples' feet. So it is Jesus Christ humbled himself and left glory to die on the cross for the sin of the world. Without that humility, no man would be saved today. Oh, that every believer would own such humility and obedience, even to the death of the cross. Our 13th reason for hope is that Jesus did humble himself to be a servant, even unto the death of the cross. Thank you, dear God. 14th reason for hope. To the disciples, Jesus gave encouragement to face the uncertainty of change. While we are reading John 13:14-17, this is all one day. Then, of course, the 3 days in the tomb and he rose again. A lot of scripture is given to a short period of time. But what is happening is the Jewish system is coming to an end, and soon the church age is going to begin, and these disciples are going to be the men used by God to start that church age. Therefore, Jesus Christ is talking to them that night because they're going to see a whole lot of things that they're not going to come to grips with. Jesus is going to be crucified. Number one. Then you're going to see him ascend into heaven. Well, now what do we do? And then we're going to start a church age, and there's going to be persecution. So therefore, Jesus starts this teaching in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Brace yourself. You believe in God, believe in me. The disciples surely did not understand. He did not come out and say, okay, now the Jewish system is ending. We're not going to have this temple anymore and the priesthood and the sacrifices and the feasts and all in all. No, we're going to go to the church age, and I know you guys don't understand that, and I know you're not going to fully comprehend when I go to the cross, and that's going to blow your mind, and then the resurrection is going to blow your mind, and then the change is going to blow your mind. Let not your heart be troubled. Our 14th reason for hope, therefore, is knowing in our lack of understanding, we do not have to be troubled. God is in control, and we can trust Him. 15th reason for hope. To the powerless disciples, Jesus taught them how to have power. They had a whole lot of work coming to do as you're going to change from the Jewish system to the church. We know you don't understand that, but here's how you're going to find the strength to do it. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So stay on the vine, boys. It's going to be an interesting ride, but I will be there. I will strengthen you. Like the disciples, we do not have the ability in our flesh to do the spiritual work, but when we go in the name of Jesus, with His guidance and direction, He will strengthen us to do what He has for us to do. Our 15th reason for hope is that we can find strength for the work of the Lord today by abiding in Him. 16. This gets us back to this great change, and let not your heart be troubled. Jesus knows our confusion. Take a look at John 16:25. He just explained in incredibly veiled terms this incredible change is coming from the Jewish system to the church. And He says, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. Veiled language. I know you don't understand. And how many times don't we understand the circumstances, the situations, the changes in our life? And Jesus is admitting to them, I know you don't understand. As a matter of fact, I have intentionally spoken so you don't understand. However, read the back half of that verse. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly the Father. You will understand in due time. Many times in life we don't understand, but whether we understand or not, we're expected to trust and obey. Our 16th reason for hope is that Jesus knows that at times we are confused, but in our confusion we must rest knowing that He is in control. 17th reason. He's talking to the disciples who are going to carry on the work after He ascends into heaven. He's going to give them strength through prayer. John 17 is the great high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. And He is praying for the disciples that the work would carry on. Look what He says in John 17:15. I pray not that thou shouldest, that God, you should not take them out of the world. Now wait a minute, think about that. How many times we say, I just want to die. And Jesus is saying, I'm not praying that you take them out of here. I'm praying you keep them here because they got work to do. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They're going to be in the midst of the evil. It is going to be very powerful, the temptations, the hardships therein. And Jesus says, I pray, dear God, you protect them in this ugly world that they can do the work that you have for them. Our 17th reason for hope is that Jesus knows our needs and He is praying for us even today. 18th reason for hope. That when Jesus Christ was thoroughly tried by an unbelieving world, He was declared and found to be innocent. Jesus was betrayed by Judas, and He was taken to a series of trials. The Jewish council, Herod, Pilate, and they searched Him. And Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. Finally, the Jews had to bring up false witnesses, the only way they could get a charge against Him. Because He was perfect. John 18:38. Pilate saith unto Him, what is truth? And when He had said this, He went out again unto the Jews, said, I find no fault at all. Isn't it interesting? He said, what is truth? And yet truth stood right before Him, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And He missed who He was. Our 18th reason for hope is the fact that there is truth and that truth has been revealed and is revealed even for us today. What is truth? Folks, truth can be found, and it is found first and foremost in Jesus Christ. This is not a game. This is not an alternative lifestyle. This is truth, folks, Christianity. I want you to get this too. This is closely related, but our next one is Truth is evident if you'll look for it. Here Jesus Christ has been declared innocent, yet they crucify him on the cross. And look at this, John 19:19. Pilate wrote a title, put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Is that true? Yes! And they could stand there staring at the truth and miss it. And it's like, well, don't you see it right there? It says King of the Jews. You missed it? Like his brothers missed it? Like the Jews missed it? He says, what more do you want me to do? And there it is. God put a sign over Jesus. King of the Jews. And they missed it. Thus, our 19th reason for hope is the truth is truth and it will prevail. It's evident. Our 20th reason for hope. To discouraged believers, Jesus gave hope. At the crucifixion, he is in the tomb, and they didn't understand, and they're discouraged. The disciples had fled. The women went to the tomb. They found it empty, and Jesus gave good news of encouragement. Verse 17 of John 20, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not ascended yet to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, tell them the good news. Oh, tell them the good news. I know they fled. I know Peter denied me. Tell them the good news to the brokenhearted. Tell them he is risen. Our 20th reason for hope is that we need not to be discouraged. Jesus is risen from the dead and liveth forevermore. And our 21st reason for hope is to broken Peter. Jesus gave encouragement and purpose. And how many times are we broken? Surely Peter did deny him 3 times. The cock crew and he wept bitterly. He felt awful. And there, after Christ rose again and he met them by the Sea of Galilee, he said to Peter, do you love me? He said the second time, do you love me? And in John 21:17, and he said unto him the third time, you see, Peter denied 3 times. Jesus gave him 3 times to confess him. You want to make up for it? I'll let you confess me 3 times. You denied me 3 times. Now confess me 3 times. And it's interesting, he said, do you love me, Peter? Feed my lambs. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Each case, he was allowing Peter to confess him, and he was, in essence, calling him back to ministry. I have work for you. You've got to feed my sheep. I know you're a broken man, but the truth is, Peter, you're more useful now because you're broken. You aren't so proud and arrogant like you once were. You're a broken man. Feed my sheep. I have work for you to do. Have you blown it in the past? God wants you to get over it. He'll let you confess 3 times. Now let's get on. I have kingdom work, and it's not sitting here moping about something you did years ago. Get over it. I hope that's great comfort. So, our 21st reason for hope is that God is merciful to the believer that sins. He offers grace and restoration. He forgave Peter. He will surely forgive us. We have 21 reasons for hope in 2016. As I stated in the beginning, no, we did not do a detailed study. We couldn't. But I hope you have gotten a gleaning of the variety of needs that Jesus Christ satisfied here on earth, and he is still in that business today, satisfying and caring for the needs of people. To the unbeliever, to the believer that's faltering, to those with physical needs, to those with spiritual needs, he is there and he is still here today to help us in 2016. The needs are diverse and yet the needs are similar. And he can care for you because he took away the sin collectively of the world. That means you too. That means you too. It includes you. It includes everyone. Let us remember the first of our great hopes. The next day John seeth him coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. It all begins at salvation. Let that hand represent you, me, and every person, and let that billfold represent sin. God loves you, but He hates your sin. And the first thing that John identifies with Jesus, He was the one that could satisfy that sin debt, because in your strength, you can't do anything. You can join churches and on and on and on, and that will not satisfy that sin debt. The Lamb of God came so many years ago, but it's valid for us today, Jesus Christ. And He took your sin, my sin, the sin collectively of the whole world, of every person. It was laid on Him, and He gave up the ghost 3 days, three nights. The Lamb, the perfect sacrifice, gave His broken body, shed His blood. But He rose again the third day. He was perfect. He had victory over the grave. How do you go to heaven? When you realize in the quietness of your mind, I get it. It's not what I do. I can't do anything to get rid of this sin debt. But I understand that Jesus Christ paid that sin debt for me. I'm part of the sin and the whole world. That was me. He paid my sin when He went to that grave. He rose again. That's paid in full. How do you go to heaven? When you realize there's nothing you can do in your flesh to satisfy that debt, but you realize Jesus paid it full, and you believe that. It's not your good works and Jesus. It's Jesus alone. For God so loved the world, but He hated the sin, that He gave His only begotten Son to pay the sin debt of that world. Whosoever sinner believes in Jesus Christ, His work of redemption, shall not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life. That's great news. That's great hope for 2016.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.